following audio is from the Lifeway Church. For more information about the Lifeway, please visit our website at www.thelifeway.org.
Well, today we're going to jump into the third week of our Forgotten Virtues series. And each week what we're doing is we're teaching about a different virtue that God has called each and every one of us to demonstrate in our lives. And so the reason we've called this series Forgotten Virtues is because many of us, in fact, many people, many in our society have neglected, have stopped doing these things. In week number one, I taught on the virtue of honor. Last week, we talked about loyalty. And if you missed either of those, you can go on our church app. They're available for free or on our website. We also have a podcast on iTunes. You can look us up there and get caught up on those. But today, what I want to do is I want to teach on the forgotten virtue of integrity. Everybody say integrity. Come on, say it like you mean it. Integrity. All right. There was a young, bright financial advisor who decided to leave the firm that she joined when she graduated from college, and she decided to branch out, and she made the decision to start her own business. Because of her strong skills, because of her strong business acumen, it wasn't long before her company was growing like crazy. It was just growing, I mean, as fast as she could keep up. And so she realized that it wouldn't be long and she would need to hire in-house legal counsel. And so she began interviewing, you know, some young attorneys that had just graduated from college. And so as she started the process, she opened the interview with one of the very first applicants that she had. And she said to him, she said, "As I'm sure you can understand, in a business like this, our personal integrity must be beyond question. We're dealing with people's finances." And so she leaned forward across her desk and she asked the young man, she said, "Are you an honest lawyer?" And the job prospect replied, "Honest? Let me tell you about honesty." And so he went on to say, "I am so honest that my father lent me $40,000 for my education and I paid every penny back the minute that I tried my very first case." And impressed, the owner smiled and she asked, "Well, what kind of case was it?" At which point the young attorney squirmed a bit in his chair and he admitted, "Well, he sued me for the money." Obviously, he wasn't very good an attorney and he didn't have integrity either, right? Integrity is such a lost virtue in our society today that it's actually a shock when someone does the right thing. Almost every day you can turn on the news and you'll see story after story of people whose lives have been completely ruined over a lack of integrity. Like, we could think not very hard and we can think of athletes and politicians and even church leaders, individuals who were admired and loved and respected, people that did great things in their communities. They were thought to be great people, and then one day their secret lives come to light, and then we're shocked and we're sad. And how could this happen? How could this person fall? They seem to have it all. And unfortunately, this happens over and over and over in our culture. And it's not just prominent leaders. It's not just those whom we see covered on the evening news and on the tabloid shows, but it happens even with those people that are closest to us. Someone that you thought you knew, maybe they represented one thing, but then they lived a completely different life. And while the circumstances vary greatly from situation to situation, at the core of all of these instances, the failures come down simply to a lack of integrity. Lack of integrity. So what is integrity? The first blank in your outline is this: is integrity is when your behavior matches your beliefs. Integrity is when what you say lines up with what you do. It's when your private life matches your public life. Somebody once said that integrity is what you do when no one else is looking. It's different than your reputation. Your reputation is who people think you are, but your integrity or lack thereof is really who you are. It's when your behavior lines up with your beliefs. In Proverbs 11, chapter 3, it says this, "The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity." You may say, well, what's duplicity? That's a cool sounding word. It simply means deceitfulness. A lack of integrity leads to destruction. And so many segments of our society have been maligned by individuals who claim one thing and yet do another. And it's tragic today that like I said a few moments ago, that people are shocked when there's an instance where someone shows integrity than they are over the lack of integrity. And so if you have your Bibles or your digital device, I'd like you to open them up to Psalm chapter 15. Psalm chapter 15, in this passage, David really captures what a life of integrity looks like. And he starts it by asking God this question in verse 1. He says, "Who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord?" Who can dwell there? In other words, who can enjoy your continuous presence? Who can walk with you, God? Who can fellowship with you? And I want you to look at how God answers starting in verse 2. He says, "Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts." What does that sound like? Integrity, right? "Those who refuse to gossip or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends." What does that look like? Integrity. Verse 4, "Those who despise flagrant sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord and keep their promises even when it hurts." What does that sound like? Integrity. Verse 5, "Those who lend money without charging interest and who cannot be bribed to lie about the innocent, such people will stand firm forever." In other words, people who live a life of integrity will never be shaken. They will stand firm forever. And while there are many, many benefits of living a life of integrity, I want to share four with you here this morning. The first one, it's the next blank here in your outline. The first one is this, is you can walk closely with God. You can walk closely with God. David asked, who can stay in your presence, Lord? And so God responds with a list of attributes that really describe integrity. And so this morning, if I teach my children our family values, and if I teach them the things that are important to us, and if they make the choice to live according to them, the byproduct of that teaching and that decision on their part is that our relationship as father and son will grow stronger and stronger and closer. But on the other hand, if one of them were to say, "You know what, forget you, Dad, I don't like your values, I want to go off and do my own thing," as a father, I'll never ever stop loving a child with this attitude. But what this attitude will do is it will block our ability to have intimacy, to have communion at the deepest levels. And the same thing is true about our Heavenly Father. When you live according to His values, you can walk with Him. You can share a deeper intimacy. You can enjoy His presence each and every day. The second benefit of integrity, if you're taking notes, is you have a built-in guide. You have a built-in guide. I remember purchasing our first GPS Garmin navigation device for our car years ago, and I was so excited. But one of the things that I always hated was that when I needed that stupid thing the most, it was in the house so it wouldn't get stolen, right? Or it was locked away in the glove box. And if you ever used one, what would happen is if you didn't use it for a month and just put it away and plugged it in, it would take 5 minutes for the satellite to even re-find you or to find you again. And so it almost always served no purpose. And so I remember, though, when we, a few years later, we purchased a vehicle that had a GPS built right in. Right, it was so nice just to kind of click the icon and see a map, and in an instant it was there for us to refer to and to guide us. And so we read early in Proverbs that the integrity of the upright It guides them. You know, you're not going to have to sit around and, you know, think and say, you know, well, I wonder if I should do this. You know, it's kind of a gray area. No, being a person of integrity will guide you into making the right decisions, into making good decisions. So it'll guide you. You have a built-in guide. The third benefit is you'll have a constant peace in your heart. You'll have constant peace. If I live a life of integrity, when I put my head on the pillow at the end of the day, I don't have to worry, will tomorrow be the day that someone discovers the truth? I won't have to wonder if my boss finds out that I did this, I'll lose my job. Or if my husband finds out I've been flirting with this other guy at work, what'll happen? Or what if my wife discovers that I've been looking at some things that I shouldn't be looking at? When living a life of integrity, you don't have to deal with any of those worries. You just have peace. There's no fear of getting caught. There's no fear of getting found out, or there's no fear of being discovered. In fact, I don't know anybody who lays awake at night, you know, and tossing and turning, and that thinks, man, I hope no one finds out that I did the right thing. Right? No one does that, right? Integrity, doing what is right, will provide you with constant peace. And then the fourth benefit, the next blank in your outline, is this, is you gain trust, respect, honor, and influence. When you live a life of integrity, you will gain trust, respect, honor, and influence. If I want to have great children, then I need to be a father of integrity. If I want to be a great leader to my family, then I need to be a husband and a man of integrity. If you want to have influence in your business community, then you need to be a person who honors your word. When you have integrity, people will follow you. They will honor you. Listen, they will listen to you. They will actually seek you out and look for your advice. These are all the benefits of living a life of integrity. Sounds pretty good, right? How many of you like those benefits? Those are good things, right? And as great as the benefits are, the challenge is that so many people simply don't possess integrity. The opposite of integrity is how non-Christians often label Christians. They'll say things like, well, Christians are a bunch of what? Hypocrites, right? In fact, the Greek word that's translated as hypocrite that you'll read in the New Testament, it literally means an actor. An actor, you're acting. In fact, in the ancient Greek plays, what would happen is the actors would have these sticks with different faces on, and they would come out and they would talk, and then they'd go behind or turn around, and then they'd pull out another mask and put it over their face, and all of a sudden there's somebody else. It's a mask. This is not really who I am, but this is who I'm pretending to be. And this is so common in our world today. I'm going to represent this persona, but in reality, I'm not that at all. Well, we all have exhibited hypocrisy, all of us at one point or another. We've exhibited hypocrisy at different seasons in our life. I remember I was in probably eighth or ninth grade, and may come as a big surprise to you, but I struggled to have friends in middle school and early high school. I was kind of a misfit. Wasn't good enough to play sports, even though I loved to. I wasn't strong enough. I wasn't big enough. Didn't dress cool enough to be with the preppy kids. Wasn't a burnout. I liked a little bit of everything, but I just had struggle fitting in. And so I remember meeting this guy. He ended up being one of my best friends in eighth, ninth, and tenth grade. His name was Andy, and he was a great young man, just a strong Christian, very devoted to Christ. And I remember walking down the street towards this house with him, and I was trying my best to fit in, and all of a sudden we're talking, and a curse word leaves my mouth. And he stopped and looked over at me and said, "Andrew, what did you just say?" And immediately I was crushed. Immediately I was so convicted of the Holy Spirit. It was a lack of integrity. It was a lack of doing the right thing. It was trying to wear too many masks. And at some point or another, we all make those types of decisions. And then to make it worse, when we make these poor decisions, we justify our actions. How many of you have ever been there? Like, it's not bad enough you made the bad decision, but then you justify the behavior. And can I tell you, God hates it when we do this. In fact, if you read through the Gospels, Jesus was more tough on the hypocrites than he was on the prostitutes and the adulterers and the people that had all sorts of messed up serious issues. In fact, I want you to listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 23:25. He says, "What sorrow awaits you, you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, you're full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will become clean too." Skipping to verse 28, "Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness." In other words, you're putting on a good game face. You look religious. You look righteous, but you're showing the outside to be clean, but your health is your heart is filthy and it's messed up from the sin and the selfishness. I want you to notice that in verse 26, Jesus called them blind Pharisees. In other words, you are so messed up you can't even see your own hypocrisy. And can I tell you, this integrity doesn't work from the outside in, it works from the inside out. It works from the inside out. For most of us, our human nature is to simply do the opposite. Let's hide the real me because we're filled with this hypocrisy and this weakness. We put on a mask so that we appear to be righteous to others. It's so easy to do, to play the game and have all the different masks, compartmentalize our lives, act like this at church and act like this at work and act like this at home and act like this when I'm around my friends. But inside, our life is just a mess. So I want to ask this question. I want you to really think about it this morning. And I don't want you to just respond based on what is in your mind and what you want to believe. But I actually want you to look at your life and see what your life says. In other words, how would your actions answer this next question? What is your integrity worth? What is it worth to you? Instead of just throwing a response out there, say, "Well, Pastor Andrew, you know, my integrity means a lot to me." I want you to answer that through the lens of what your actions say your integrity is worth. For example, maybe you lied on a resume to get a better job. If you did that, well, then your integrity is worth whatever additional money that job paid. You took your integrity and said, "You know what, I'm willing to trade that for the perceived benefit of more money." What's it worth to you? Some of you might ashamedly say, "Well, it's actually worth less than that." You may have stolen something from your work. It could be something small. Perhaps you took a ream of paper for you to use on your home computer and printer. And so your actions reveal that your integrity is worth the value of a ream of paper. $6.99, $5.99. Perhaps you falsified an expense report. You put something down that was personal and made it look like a business expense. The cost of that item is what your integrity is worth. Maybe you're married and finances are tight. So when you buy an outfit, you hide it in the back of the closet. One lady said, "What I do is I buy an outfit and then I hide it for 2 months and then I put it on. And that way, when my husband asks, 'Is that a new outfit?' I respond, 'No, I've had it for months.'" Some of you are thinking, "That's a great idea." No. That's what your integrity is worth. Some of you might be in business and maybe you occasionally overbill your large client because you know that they can afford it. Or perhaps you were hired to do a job and you intentionally cut some corners along the way to get done quicker. Maybe when you're with friends, you exaggerate a story just so that you can fit in and just so that you will be liked. Perhaps you tell your spouse that you love her and you honor her, but yet you're looking at impure images and watching things online that you shouldn't watch. Maybe you're a student here this morning and you really want to get good grades that'll help you get that scholarship that'll ease the burden on you, and you need to keep your GPA as high as possible so you cheat on an exam or you plagiarize a paper just so you can get by. That's what your integrity is worth to you. And so I ask this morning, what is your integrity worth? Not just what you say, but what do the actions of your life say that it is worth? There's a really interesting story about a man in the Old Testament. In fact, there's a whole book devoted to his story. His name is Job, and in case you've never heard of him, let me give you a quick overview this morning of his story. Lucifer is up in having a discussion with God. Satan's having a discussion with God, and he starts criticizing God's people. And so he said to God, you know that these people don't really love you, God. They're just faithful to you, God, because you're so good to them. In essence is what Satan is saying. And so God replied, no, you've got this all wrong. There are some who really do love me. In fact, it's not in my notes, but not in our message, but I wonder how many of us would fall into that category today. And Satan responds incredulously, God, no one loves you. Who? You show me one who really loves you. And so God says, well, there's this one guy. He's full of integrity, and I promise you, he is faithful to me. His name is Job. And so Satan asks, he literally asks God, he says, let me have a shot at him. Let me take away some of the good things that you've given him, and we'll see if he really loves you. And while it is a little disconcerting, God says, okay, take your best shot. And so little by little, Satan goes down and he strips Job of all of these things that are really important, not only to him, but if any of us were in that same position, they're the things that are most important to us. And over the course of time, his wife turns on him and his friends turn on him. In fact, his wife even said, hey, why are you holding on to your integrity? Why don't you just curse God, Job, and why don't you die, you miserable man? His friends piped in, great friends. They said, you know you've done something wrong. All of these bad things wouldn't be happening if you were really who you said that you were. So I want you to listen to how Job responds. It's towards the latter part of the book in Job 27, chapter 27, verse 5 and 6. He says that no matter what you say to the naysayers, he says, I will defend my integrity until I die. I will maintain my innocence without wavering. My conscience is clear for as long as I live. In other words, Job's integrity was worth everything to him. It was worth more than his possessions because he lost everything. It was worth more than his crops. It was worth more than his money, his homes, his family, even his personal health. In essence, he was saying, you can take away everything else, but you cannot take away my right to honor God in every way that I live. That's what my integrity is worth to me. Was worth everything to Job. And so this morning I ask again, what is your integrity worth? Alan Simpson said this, if you have integrity, nothing else matters. If you don't have integrity, nothing else matters. Integrity is a vital component to the quality and the depth of life that we leave. So what do you do when you realize that you don't have integrity? What are some steps that you can take? Let me give you some real practical things. The first one, number one, is get to know Jesus. Get to know Jesus. Truly get to know him. Not just from a distance, not just showing up on Sunday mornings once every 3 or 4 weeks, but really getting close. Spend time with him. Spend time soaping. In fact, in your service guide, there's a soap outline. We have free journals back at Information Central. I encourage you, get started. Spend time with him. Read his word. Spend time having devotion and prayer. In fact, I encourage you, come to church every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. And I know this isn't possible every week for some of you, but every Sunday morning at from 9 to 9:30, we come and we make this room a time to pray together and seek God's face. Come to First Wednesday prayer and commit to knowing God personally. Because let me tell you, we can never live a life of integrity on our own, because each and every one of us, we are all bent towards sin. We're bent towards doing the wrong things. The only thing to do is to know him and to allow his spirit to lead us into doing what is right. And when we get to this place, what'll happen is he'll start to live through you. He'll start to guide you. The second thing, while it's difficult to do, it's well worth it. Number two is ask for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness. In other words, apologize to the people that you've misrepresented yourself to. Say things like, you know what, for the last however many years it's been, or for the last bit of time, I have not been true to the things that I value. I've lived a life of hypocrisy. I've been an actor. Would you forgive me? And it'll take some time to rebuild their trust, but I promise you, when you have a difficult conversation like that, they will begin to see a change in you. They will begin to see the fruit in you, and you will gain more respect with that person than you ever had in the past. And then lastly, number three, do what you say and say what you do. Do what you say and say what you do. In Matthew 5:37, Jesus put it this way. He said, but let your yes be yes, and your no be no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. It really is that simple. Become a person of your word as Christ lives through you. Don't just talk the talk, but walk the walk. I encourage everyone here this morning to live a life of integrity. Take off the masks. Expose the real you. Please don't kid yourself. You're not gonna have a good marriage. You're not gonna be a good parent or a good friend or a boss or a good employee without having integrity. When you have integrity, that is all that really matters. And when you don't have it, it's all that really matters. As we close this morning, I believe that God is dealing with many hearts about this important forgotten virtue. And what I've noticed in my own life is that the closer that I get to God, the more he shines his light on my life. And the more he shines his light on my life, the more of my darkness is revealed. The more I begin to see the hypocrisy that is inside of me. So today, rather than sitting in your chair, maybe feeling guilty or thinking, well, man, I'm such a loser. I just always do the wrong thing. No, I want you to see this morning as an opportunity to bring another part of your life into alignment with Jesus Christ. God wants to reveal any area of your life that is not pure, that's not clean, that's not right. Some of you know, as I've been talking this morning, and maybe as I've been giving some examples, you already know the area in your life that is lacking integrity. And when we pray in just a moment, I want you to repent of that, and I want you to take that before God. This morning, you may be sitting here, and you're like, man, I want to live a life of integrity, but you're not even a follower of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you that I grew up in church? Church life is all that I've ever known. But I can be honest, early I shared an example of this as an eighth and ninth grader where I was wearing so many different masks, it wasn't funny. I had my mask that I'd wear around my non-church friends, and I had a mask that I'd wear around my parents, and I had a mask that I'd wear at church, and I'd have one for school, and I'd have one for the guys, and then I had a different mask when I was in the hockey locker room, and there were times I got so confused that I couldn't remember which one I was supposed to be. I lacked integrity. I was full of hypocrisy, even though I was trying to be a good person. I realized that no matter how I tried, it wasn't ever going to be enough. In all of the sermons that I heard, I guess I never realized that the Bible said that on my own I could never get it all together. I was a sinner. And my sins separated me from God. There simply was no way that I could ever be good enough for Him. And some of you this morning, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've played that game. You've got the Christian mask in your actor's toolkit. But you're not truly a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so can I encourage you, if that's where you are today, let's get rid of those masks this morning. Still, there are others. You recognize that your life is not anywhere close to honoring God. But yet you feel this drawing. You feel this tug. Can I tell you, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. God brought you here this morning because He's pursuing you. And like I felt, you may feel, well, I'm not good enough for Him. But that day will never come when you feel good enough. We just need to have the integrity to say, you know what? I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Because when you call on Jesus, the one who was born of a virgin, the one who lived without sin, who died on a cross, He rose again, when you call on Him, He will be your Savior. He will forgive you. He will transform you. He will make you brand new. Those of you here this morning that would say, yes, that's me, Jesus, I'm ready to give my life completely to You. I ask You to save me. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I don't want anyone looking around. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you stand up by yourself or walk down here to the front on your own. But if that's where you're at today, if you're ready to make that decision to follow Jesus, why don't you just slip up your hands, because I want to pray for you. Is there anybody here that says, yes, thank you. Thank you. I see your hand here. Thank you. I see another hand here. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Thank you. Another hand over here. Thank you. Thank you. Let's all pray together. If you don't know the words to say, you can repeat after me. Otherwise, I want you just to begin to talk to God. Lord Jesus, Lord, I believe that You died for me so that I could live for You. Lord, I ask You to take all of my life. Lord, it is Yours. Lord, I am not my own. Lord, I belong to You. Today, Father, I'm asking You to fill me with Your Spirit so that I could serve You for the rest of my life. Lord God, we ask that in the presence of Your Spirit, Lord God, that You would do a work in each of us that only You can do. God, as we confess our sins to You, we ask You to forgive us. Oh God, we thank You that Your grace is greater than we could ever imagine and hope for. Lord, this morning I pray that You would forgive us of hypocrisy. Lord God, forgive us of every area that we lack integrity. And Lord, I pray that there would be restored relationships. Lord, I pray that there would be those here who would confess, you know what, I've not been true in this area of my life. Lord God, I pray for forgiveness and restoration and healing. Lord, I pray that You would bless businesses here and business leaders and workers here. And Lord God, that are led, Lord God, to live lives of honesty and integrity. Lord, I pray that You would bless dating relationships. When one would say, you know what, I've not treated you with love and honor and respect, and I've used you for my own pleasure. Lord God, I pray that You would bless those relationships as they confess and live in such a way that would bring honor to You. Lord, at the end of our life, let it be said that we were people of integrity. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you've been encouraged by it. If you'd like more information about The Lifeway, please visit thelifeway.org.